100 Word Stories. Welcome to the 100 Word Stories podcast at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Today is Sunday, so instead of the usual daily stories from me, it's your turn. I call this the Weekly Challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with the stories. I also make excuses for the poor audio quality, whether it's my broken headset, cats playing in the background, the coffee machine on the fritz, or whatever. The topic this week was cookie. We've got a bunch of stories this week, so let's get right to it. I wonder who was first. And we're checking. Ah, it looks like Tura is first. All right, Tura. You're in the lead. Let's hear what you've got to say. Go for it.
So I go online to order a Chinese, and there's my own name already on the webpage. And how about your favourite hot Singapore noodles tonight? What? I fire an email saying, don't you tell me what I want, I tell you. Damn it, the Singapore noodles are my favourite, but I'm not giving them the satisfaction. It's the cookies. Can't deal with anyone online without them sticking cookies all over you. It's the mark of revelations, without which no man might buy nor sell save that he accepted the cookie. When does a revelation say the cookie monster shows up?
Thank you, Tura. Although I've got to tell you, when will the cookie monster show up? I know when. Let me ask my vampire friend here. He's been sleeping for a while after that goofy Halloween podcast. Count. What? One seal broken, two seals broken, three glorious seals broken. I see that. Isn't that lame? Oh man, I woke up at 4:45. That's okay, I fell asleep at 9:30, so that's like, for me, 6 hours of sleep is like, you should put a mirror under my nose. I don't get much sleep. I don't. You wonder why, huh? Good coffee. No, I didn't have any coffee last night. I'm being really, really cautious after, was it Wednesday night? Oh. And Thursday was like, you know, dog ass. So, even if it's decaffeinated, it just messes me up, man. So, you know, only in the mornings. Then dump that crap out. And if I have to stay up late for something, fuck that. Wake up early the next morning. So, just a little peek into the madness of my life. And speaking of the madness of my life, I don't have any cookies this morning. The corner store isn't open. And, you know, Gina went to the grocery store. I walked to Kroger. No cookies. None at all. But, you know, when the corner store does open, I may walk over there and here's Thomas. Thomas is back, and, you know, little images with his stuff, you know, give you a little feel for it. If you go to the show notes, you'll see them. But while we're waiting here, maybe I should make those the episode art. You think so? How much effort does that take, doing episode art? Oh, too much. All right, never mind. Here is Thomas's story, then. Well, actually, it's two stories. That's how the cookie crumbles. Actually, I have a story about that somewhere.
She was a tough cookie. She had her hand on my thigh and an eye on my bank account. She did special favors for me and would leave a plate of brownies or pie at my door 2 times a week. She wanted to fatten me up, figuring my heart would explode and I would leave her a bundle in my will. She watched my weight and my health more than I did. She encouraged me to spend time reading and watching videos, figuring the sedentary lifestyle would aid in my early demise. My will left everything to the Humane Society. She only had one cookie, but it was enough for all of us. We all took turns taking a bite of her cookie. She only came through town on weekends, and we got in line early on Saturday, knowing she'd be here a little after supper time. We had to eat supper at the cafe before we were allowed a bite of dessert. Her bodyguards were positioned close by to oversee the presentation. Each of us in turn approached her, our hands behind our backs, as touching was not allowed, to take a polite and deliberate nibble of her cookie.
Oh, there ain't nothing polite about that. Oh, wait. thank you, Thomas. Woo. Man, it's too early for that kind of thinking. Ugh, coffee. Yeah, this is going to become the coffee gulp cast. Did I already say thank you, Thomas? You can tell I'm not awake. I should not be recording these before the sun comes up. You know the effect of sundowning, where somebody just loses their shit totally when it's at night, and they're just like, yeah, man, that's me, around the clock. Okay, who's up next? Ooh, somebody new. This is Charlie is coming to the show here. And Zachman brought him in. Oh, good Zachman, more fresh meat. Good Zachman, you bring in the bodies. I make them alive. No, that sounds like Dracula. Dracula doing Count Frankenstein stuff. That's wrong. I shouldn't be bringing stuff up during Halloween. What kind of horror movies come up during Halloween and, anyway, and Christmas? And I know, Silent Night, Deadly Night, but you know, come on. I don't watch me. I've been wanting to watch The Expendables on DVD. I don't bother. I need to, but I don't. I also The Walk yesterday, Kroger and back. I didn't do the epic hike. Today, will I do the epic hike? I don't know. Is it going to rain? I need to check the radar. I should check the radar. Okay, hold on. Folks, you got to wait while I check the radar. Cron.com. And I know this, you know, C.C. Chapman wouldn't do this crap. Ooh, T.J. Yates is going to be starting for the Texans, and that's going to be... Oh, wait, 70 overcast? It's 70 out? Okay, hold on. Chance of rain, 70%, but we check the local radar, and ooh, man. All right, this is where we play the game. And it's going to rain within about... sprinkling with about 2 hours. Ooh, man. Better in than out, I always say. That way no one can hear you. So here's Charlie, and he's probably wondering, does he babble like this all the time? Yes, he does.
My name is Charles White. I'm known in places on the web as Q2, C-E-W-T-W-O. I do have a blog. I don't update it much. I'd rather not include it at this time. I think the concept of 100-word stories is a really cool concept. I want to participate, and this will be my first contribution. Thank you. That cookie looked good. I came in from a run hungry. It was just sitting there. I knew it wasn't mine, but I wanted it. I pulled some stuff off of the table and let it fall to the floor. Now, the dog should get blamed. I went over to her and scratched her under her ears. I smiled at her. I went back to the cookie. Still looked good. Very tempting. And the stage was set. I reached for it when I heard the front door open. A dog almost got your cookie, I yelled.
Ah, a dog almost got your cookie. I need to remember that excuse. Oh, thank you, Charlie, and welcome to the whole thing, and I hope you come back despite the mad long rambles and all that stuff. If not, you can blame Zachman, and there can be finger-pointing, pointy. Don't point your fingers while driving, though. You need them on the wheel, 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, all right? Or, you know, if you have your knees set to 4 and 6 o'clock, so, all right. What time is it? Oh, God, it's too early. Oh, thank you, Charlie, and keep coming back for more. Otherwise, you know, it'll just be me and Zachman going, I remember the day when... Yeah, I need more coffee. Speaking of more coffee, here's Muncie. Yeah, my God, Chris Monroe, he keeps coming back. That's so cool. Most people don't. It's not my fault, is it? No, 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 no. It can't Here's Muncie with his story. Hey, what can I tell you? It's a kind of magic.
Good morning, someone else's faithful listeners. How are you enjoying your Sunday? Ready for some hot cookie action? Good, because this story is fresh out of the oven, and that gag was not. Cookies by Chris Monroe. I brought cookies, though I know you're about as likely to accept them as you are to accept my apology. If I were in your position, I wouldn't forgive me, so I suppose I can't expect any different from you. Why would you forgive me? You don't owe me anything. Plus, I'm a god-awful baker, so I'm not sure the cookies are even edible. But I had to do something. After what I did, I figure I owe you at least a gesture. Hence, the cookies. I'll leave them here, by the door. You can fetch them once I'm long gone. Writings at munzeestories.blogspot.com. Twitterization at munzeemunzee. And now, I must return to my home planet. They need me.
Thank you, Muncie. I'm glad you keep coming back, because if you didn't, we'd have to send out a search party, and, you know, the dog would be sniffing one of these files and going, how am I supposed to track on this? And, you know, we'd have to give the dog an IP address, and, you know, dogs can't read. Packet sniffers? Dogs. You don't want your packet sniffed by a dog. Who knows what'll happen? Next up, before I completely embarrass myself, it's Jeffrey Haidt. Yes, Jeffrey Haidt. That Jeffrey Haidt, the Haidt, a podcast fiction. And he's come back, and not only has he come back with a vengeance, but also he is posting stories in the comments of the site. Yes, the comment section of the site. You know, the comments that you people rarely, if ever, fill out. You know, how am I supposed to know that I'm completely embarrassing and disgusting you with my daily stories if you don't post something up there like, oh my god, this one sucked? And if there were 10 of them, 15 comments in there saying, oh my god, this one sucked, maybe I might think, I don't know, should I edit this one? No, you don't ever leave comments. And you don't need to. You really don't. You don't have to. But it would be nice. And I think it would be nice if you left comments in the weekly challenge letting others know how much you appreciated their story. I mean, you could say, hey, welcome to the show, Charlie, in the comments, and then they'd feel appreciated. Or, hey, Abernathy, when are you coming back? Or, TJ, are you staying warm? Or are you sending those messages directly to each other on a forum that I'm not invited to? Say, oh my god, did you hear what he said this week? Oh, that's an idiot. I know you're doing this. I know you're plotting against me, setting up a story thing over at, oh, I don't know, the Flying Island Press, or maybe you're all going to go to the Drabblecast or the Dribblecast. Don't leave me. It's the holiday season. It's a time for togetherness. Just together over here, not there. Okay, I'll calm down now. I'll have a sip of coffee and play Jeffrey Haidt's story for you.
Hello, this is Jeffrey Haidt of the Flying Island Press, World Builders Unlimited, and formerly Great Heights. This is my entry for week number 293, and I call it Cookie Robot, even though I'm not really sure why, because it really doesn't have a robot in it. But hey, it sounded good. Dr. Wiley had spent his entire career getting to this point. He'd never felt so alive. Well, not since he'd been a kid. When he was a kid, life had always been great. Every day filled with joy and happiness. That was until Clyde moved to town junior year. Clyde had taken everything. His girl, his spot on the football team, his spot as valedictorian. Everything. The last straw had been, well, that didn't matter. He set the time machine and got in. He reached out and startled the boy in front of him. That's my cookie. So, I hope you enjoyed it. If you have a moment, please go over to flyingislandpress.com and check out our new steampunk issue. It is quite good. And I've taken up a new challenge. Every day, Lawrence writes a 100-word story. Every day, I'm going to write a 100-word story with the same title. No promises about until I die, but hey, the height of podcast fiction. It's got to start somewhere. So, until next time.
Oh, 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 whoa, 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 whoa. It's got to start somewhere. You're saying that it hasn't been happening here. Oh, 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 oh. Well, it looks like we're going to be having one of those drabble dance-offs. It's a drabble-off. I'm going to show up in an alley with, you know, typewriters and, you know, word processors and magnetic poetry and refrigerators. Although it might be hard to carry a refrigerator in, but no, you always see refrigerator boxes in these things anyway. So it's going to happen in somebody's kitchen. And it's going to be, you know, who has two refrigerators in their kitchen anyway? Frickin' yuppies. You know, if I ever get to the point where I have one of those dual ovens and dual refrigerators, I have too much money. I'd be one of the 1%. Stop me. We don't need a society with that much food stocked up just for, you know, all the kids are out of the house and it's all that, but we're going to throw dinner parties all the time. No, I'm not throwing a dinner party. Ever. Okay, maybe I've done it before, but no, not from this point on. No dinner parties. All right. You're not invited. Well, unless you want to drop by, then I might make something. But oh, thank you, Jeffrey. Trying to show me up on my own site, huh? Well, not that I ever managed to... Well, I do some of the topics over there at Flying Island Press. I forget to turn them in. Oh, next topic is Zach Mann, who brought in Charlie. And, of course, by bringing in Charlie, now he's, you know, going to be doing his stories. He has two of them. Two stories. You know, Charlie did one, he does two, then the next person does three, and it builds up, and, you know, now you're just listening to this 24/7. And I'll wind up being a neurotic Howard Stern, you know, kind of person. You know. Yeah, Beetlejuice, so what's the traffic like? Eh? Oh, you're right. Okay, that's good. All right, now take off your top. So here's Zach Mann with his story.
Me cookie. Me no original cookie that was on television. Me big cookie from Toy Store. One day me see really big guy. He buy me and take me to his house. Guy called Big C. Big C does something called Bear Crawling Podcast, BearCrawlingNation.com, where he talks to people on Stickam. It have chat room. Big C read chat room and say, "Really? Really? Damn it, Zach Mann, I'm not a pleasurophile." Then Big C pat me on head and say, "Don't worry, Cookie. I don't love you that way. I hate Yarnburn. Me sleep with eyes open."
Right. I may sleep with eyes open, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, another story by Zach Mann coming right up. Here we go.
Hugh was reading about solar power and saw an article about a way to warm hot dogs, then thought if he could make it bigger, he could make a house out of cookie dough and find a use for Costco-sized quantities of bacon goods. The neighborhood kids ate Hugh's cookie house, and the autumn rains destroyed what they did not. Hugh remembered a news story about a woman who made a house out of gingerbread, and she got so mad that the children kept eating her house that she started a rumor that she ate children to keep them away from her house.
Wait, she didn't eat children? Then what did she do to the 5 children I brought her? Along with a pizza and a 2-liter of ginger ale. Ginger ale doesn't go with pizza. It goes with children. Huh? Because, you know, Coke or Diet Coke or Pepsi, well, it's usually Pepsi. I don't drink Pepsi. I don't know why. I was raised on, well, some no brand that we used to get bottles delivered, but I... whatever. I guess I'm a Coke. No, I'm more of a Dr. Pepper person, really. Although, I don't... I'm confused now. Well, anyway, thank you, Zach Man. Two stories from the Zach Master. Hmm? How's that sound? I've already penned the height of podcast fiction, the Zach Master. It's only taken me 2 years. Speaking of years and years and years, I think we have an update this week from Tom. As we can tell from the gigantic Here Be Updates in the email he sent. Now that I know what to look for, you know, now that it's in H1 bold, because I'm such a frickin' retard. Here's Tom, and his updates, and then, hopefully, his story. Although maybe one day he'll just do updates and just, you know, right in my face. So, but hopefully not soon, because I enjoy his stories. Oh, and he's doing those stories, you know, midweek to catch up so that he's done every single weekly challenge. And if you want to do every single weekly challenge, just go to the site, look up, you know, weekly challenge topics, and you'll see all 293, and then you can fill in the ones that you haven't done. Or if you're new to the thing, and you say, well, I just want to get started, you know, get practice, you can practice up at home. You don't have to post them. You can practice on those, and then if yours looks better than everybody else's, you can go, I'm ready. And if not, then, you know, head over to the Drabblecast, and Norm Sherman will reject you and laugh at you. Jerk. Oh, sorry. Here's Tom.
Hello, Night People. Tom here, and I've got updates. We have 3,166 stories posted, which gives us an average of an amazing 10.8, highest to date. We have been in double digits for a full 5 months. Chris Monroe is one story behind B in the 43rd place. Chris the Nuclear Kid moves into the 44th place. Thomas continues his march forward, passing Fricker to occupy the 26th place. Young Danny Dreyer passes Linda with 41 stories. He is in the 15th place, which is the edge of the lair of the Golden Monkeys, 3 stories shy of Andrew Ian Dodge. Of the top 10 authors, 6 are currently active, of which your humble scribe has 65 stories in a row. I'm gunning for Anima Zabaleta, who has 75 stories in a row. Tonight's story is called Sunday Dinner? Cookie LaRue was an exotic dancer at San Jose's legendary Pink Poodle. She did this thing with a stack of quarters that would blow your mind. Ed Frobisher came in every Sunday afternoon after Sunday school class to watch Cookie do that cookie thing. He said he could feel the presence of God. His wife Gladys was happy to get him out of the house until the pastor dropped by for Sunday night dinner. Tuna casserole is serious business in the Frobisher household. The pastor was never late because Ed and he would leave the poodle together. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Tom. And you gave me an idea. We could actually do a radio serial called The Lair of the Golden Monkey. Although, you know, we'd have to really put some effort into it. Not like that Chodesworth crap that Norm Sherman does. I mean, that is just... oh, God, that stuff's unlistenable. But still, you know, at least he breaks his episodes down into, you know, you can skip chapter, skip chapter. Ooh, this is a good stuff, you know? And I do have to listen to Escape Pod now. I skip the Merle Lafferty ones. But I listen to the ones that Norm reads, or hosts, or, I don't know. I'm picky. Although I've got over 300 shows that I've got to listen to. Although I do leave, to the best of our knowledge, they have a new website. Everything's available now. It's all cool up there. Oh, they've got some real good ones, man. Oh, I've listened, if I don't listen to them on Friday, if they don't post on Friday, Saturday, that's what I listen to when I walk. That's good stuff, man. To the best of our knowledge, ttbook.org. And Doug Gordon, is it Doug Gordon? or whatever. That's thestory.org. Some really, really good stuff out there. So if you ever need recommendations for crap to fill yours with and you're sick of this and you just want to send stories, but it's like, oh, I could use that 30 minutes for something else. 360, Studio 360 is a good one. And these are a lot of radio things repurposed, but that means you don't have to, ooh, it's time to gather around the radio, kids. Not going to happen. Nope. Kid. Gather around a radio? You know, if you got a drive time, you'll put it on your pod and then plug it in and listen to it when you want to listen to it. Not those assholes. You know, hey, man, you gun to money? We're going to make a call to someone and screw up their life. You know, not me. Unless you paid me to do it. Oh, Stephen the Nuclear Man and his sidekick slash son, Chris the Nuclear Kid. Yeah, they've got stories this week. It's going to be cool. So here's, let's see, who are we going to go with first? I'm going to toss a coin here. And no, put that down. Stupid mist. She's got a new boyfriend, by the way. His name is Boy. I saw the, he's the fluffy seal point who wanders around. He's really friendly. And Mist, you know, he and Mist, you know, they wander around and play, and then they sit in the dirt. And then they get on the fence, and they're playing, and, you know, meow. And, you know, Mist doesn't meow, so, you know, the boy meows. And I know his name is Boy, because I was calling him Fluffy Boy. And he was like, huh? What? Huh? And it's like, Fluffy Boy. And so I went, Fluffy? And he didn't look around. And I said, Boy. And he looked at me. And it's like, ah. And so when the owner came around looking for him, you know, shaking his toy, and I said, oh, are you the one who owns Boy? How did you know his name? And I said, I called him Fluffy Boy. And he, you know, responded. So, amazing. Broken clock, right, twice. What am I telling this story for? You should hear a story from, oh, I don't know, Chris the Nuclear Kid.
What did we do to deserve such cruelty? They burn us till we cannot move, being forced to wait for our doom. And they put us in round upside-down domes where we sit there, unmoving, waiting for their return, dreading what is to come. It happens all the time, and now it's my turn. I sit in the dome thing and wait. There's a tall green triangle in the corner with smaller square objects under it. Then, to my horror, I see a gigantic red and white demon. A ravenous monster, a legend among my kind. Santa Claus.
Ah, ha, 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 yeah. You know, that could have easily fit within the Christmas special that's coming up. But thank you, Chris the Nuclear Kid, for getting us ready, primed in the Christmas spirit. Yeah, 3 weeks is going to be the Christmas show, because it falls on December 25th, and I'm like, well, maybe, you know, I could get it produced in the morning, and then everyone will be able to listen to it as their opening presents, as the family gathers around, and, you know, then the kids start to cry. It'll be like, why aren't we listening to something fun or Christmas Carol? Shut up. Daddy's in this somewhere. And I'm saying daddy because, you know, have you noticed a lack of women writing? Even though women write and talk and talk and talk, you know, they've all vanished. They don't like this thing. I know. We're all misogynist, he-man, women-haters. It's terrible. Terrible. All the testosterone and all the Prestone, too. I mean, for crying out loud. You know, you pour that everywhere. But you know what? Antifreeze. It tastes so good. Ethylene glycol. You know, I'm going to put some in my coffee. So, thank you, Chris. And here's your dad. Just amazing how one day you're going to submit one that's early, and then I'm going to be like, okay, where's Steven? Where's Steven? Uh-oh. Looks like I've stirred up trouble. I tweeted that I hate Chodesworth, hate Chodesworth, hate Chodesworth. Needs one. And now Muncie's coming to his defense. Great. Now I've driven somebody else away from the podcast. God. Such a jerk. Stephen.
You're 10, Mom says. Old enough to make the cookies for Santa. I look up and stop cleaning my hamster's cage. Am I old enough to get an X-Station Cube 4? Mom winces. I'm sorry, honey. I think Santa ran out. My dad yells from the living room. Damn it, Brenda, give me another beer! Mom winces again and gets him another can. Our recycling bin is almost full. She leaves me with the ingredients. Later, I leave the cookies for Santa. Mom smiles. What kind did you make? Chocolate chip, I say, and head to bed with my hamster's very clean cage.
Very clean cage, and God, this is turning into a smackdown here. Lincoln wouldn't have time for game hunting, but I forgive Teddy Roosevelt in the same indulgence. Hypocrite, perhaps. No, Teddy, he was a rough rider. He was a very sickly child, and then he said, well, I'm going to be strong and manly, and he decided that. And I think that's something that kids these days, you know, get out of that wheelchair. Come on, you can be like Teddy Roosevelt. Come on, let's go hunting. There ain't nothing left to hunt, but let's hunt. Let's hunt the hunters. Yeah. You know, there's a Larry the Cable Guy. Let's shoot him. So, Lincoln would not have time unless, of course, he were a clone. Anyway, thank you, Stephen. I'm sorry you got caught up in all this mess. Sometimes we just get a little carried away. And speaking of carried away, that's right. I don't know what Danny's going to say in this one. I should probably preview it because, you know, the stuff that he writes in the emails with relevant text and sound files attached, and here's the rest of the story. Okay, it starts off now. And finally, my suggestion for next week's topic, insanity. Insanity like Eddie Anton and the crazy commercials. Oh, man, we should have gone with insanity instead of lame ass. Okay, if you want to do insane tree next week, all right, if you want to pack in any of the topics, you know, let's say that tree isn't enough for you and you want to raise the bar. Well, I've started collecting up all the topics people suggest on my Topic Thursdays and the ones that we don't use within the weekly challenges. And I'm putting them in Google Docs. And I'm going to, like, make it, you know, tinyurl.com/something, I don't know, 100 word story topics or something like that. And also it's going to be linked up at the blog. And I'm going to maintain that. And if you want me to share it with you, just, you know, say, hey, share that with me in email, and I'll add you to the share list, and you can check it within your Google Docs, unless you think Google is the devil. Then, you know, whoa, let us slay the devil. So, here we go with Danny and his story, and you've been warned.
Hello, hello, Danny Dwyer here once again with Weekly Challenge 293, Cookie. And maybe you don't know who Cookie is, but Cookie happened to be best friends with the previous character I wrote about, Bubbles. They're both high-priced prostitutes, and they both have a lot in common. Prostitution. Well, anyway, here's my weekly challenge, 293, Cookie. I hope you enjoy. Cookie was another high-priced prostitute who lived in the shadow of the Nabisco factory, just off of Route 208 in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Cookie was best friends with Bubbles, who was now somewhere in Holland with her boyfriend on some insane search for the Hollish. Cookie liked living up to her name. She ate cookies all the time, during work, during sex, plus during sex while at work. Cookie's favorite morning was Tuesdays, when the Nabisco factory was making Nilla wafers. So at least once a week, Cookie's neighborhood no longer smelled like an oil refinery. It smelled like heaven.
Thank you, Danny. And I think you found your niche there. I think you found your groove. The 100-word stories about hookers. I think 88 Lines About 44 Chicks, was that the name of the song? But this is just, wow. Thank you. It's, now that's waking me up. Coffee drunk out of a skull head. Man. Hold on, that's starting to look like my teeth. Thank you, Danny. One more? Yeah, we got one more. It's Norval Joe. That's right. This one's going to be a little weird. Okay, so here we go with Norval Joe and his story. I know, I'm speeding things up. We're getting to the 40-minute mark. We have less stories this week, yet it takes me longer. I'm rambling again.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of the Flying Island Press, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 293 with the prompt of cookies, or cookie. My netbook broke this week. It was going to cost me $180 to have the little electronic connection re-soldered, and it cost me $230 for a brand new one. So I'm trying to deal with the microphone in this new netbook. It's a different brand. And I'm hoping this sounds okay. I'm just going to have to go with what I got. Here's my story. Kesso Fromage of the Cheese Police was called to a crime scene in the wee hours one Sunday morning. She tiptoed through the wrecked bakery and struggled to keep her previous evening's dinner down. Cookies of all description and size were scattered indiscriminately across counters, work tables, and the floor. Written on each, in cursive script, formed from softened American processed cheese, was the capital letter S. "Cheese belongs on crackers," Kesso said, and wiped the perspiration from her forehead. This flagrant violation of the cheddar cheese protocol can only be the work of Sleazy Weezer, the easy cheese squeezer. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
And was this... I mean, Sleazy Weezer, this sounds like another prostitute story. Could be. Although Danny might start... Oh, God. The Nabisco factor. This is turning into just a... We're taking a wrong turn here, I think. Well, thank you, Norval Joe, for exposing this CDL underbelly of cookies. I'm getting a little nervous here. Speaking of nervous, Planet Z. I don't know where he's heading to, but this is just wrong.
I warned Billy not to eat cookies before dinner, but I caught him with his hand in the cookie jar again. So the cookies are in a lockbox on a high shelf in a locked pantry. "Have a piece of fruit," I tell him, but he's obsessed with getting the cookie.
"Make a healthy cookie from fruit," whispered the muse, and I rushed to the kitchen to make a batch of fruit cookies. I guarded them as they cooled, then put them in the old cookie jar. Billy took one, bit into it, and vomited. He's back on heroin now.
And there you have it. A bunch of stories about Cookie. Thank you to everyone who is a part of the weekly challenge this week on the 100 Word Stories podcast. You can go to the website at podcasting.isfullofcrap.com for links to the author's websites, a text of the stories, an archive of shows, Jeffrey Heights contributions in the comments, not that you ever enter them, and social network sharing options, and a whole bunch of other stuff. The more people see this on Google+, Facebook, and Twitter, the more explaining you'll have to do to your loved ones, coworkers, and parole officers. Until the next week, when the topic will be trees, or insane trees. This is Lawrence Simon saying thank you for listening, and as always, keep it brief.